I'm sure you'll agree that God's will is very important. First of all, I want to mention that the bulletin says that I'm going to preach on God is love for Valentine's Day, but Thursday night I was guided in a far different direction, and poor Mary had already printed the bulletin, but sometimes that happens. Sometimes I just feel led to go in a different direction. So the bulletin is wrong, but fortunately the notes are correct. So you can follow along with the sermon notes today. God's will is very, very important. Jesus taught us to pray that God's will would be done. Remember the Lord's Prayer? This is a little piece in Matthew 6, verse 10, behind me on the screen. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. This is where our prayer should be focused. Amen? Look at this great description of David, Acts 13, 22. After he had removed him, that's Saul, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he testified and said, this is what God says about David, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. Very, very important. In the garden, Jesus taught us that it is God's will, not ours, that should be the priority. Luke 22, 42, Jesus prayed this. Oops, that is Acts. Luke 22, 42 says this, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Remember that prayer in the garden? Very important that we all pray that way. God's will was so important to Jesus, he makes this really amazing statement in John 4:34. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Jesus tells us how we should all live. This should be all of our life statement, John 6:38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is how we should all live. We're not here to do our will. We're here to do the will of God. So it is very important that we ask this question. What is God's will? Would you agree that we need to know it? What is God's will? In fact, Paul prays this for the Colossian church. Colossians 1, 9. For this reason, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And that is my prayer for you. And I hope that is your prayer for me. It's very important that we know God's will, but I've noticed something in my own life, and I bet you it's true of your life as well. Here in America, when we focus on God's will, we often have the wrong focus. You and I neglect the clear teaching of Scripture about God's will, and we get caught up in matters that are not as clear. You and I neglect the clear teaching of Scripture about God's will, and we get caught up in matters that are not as clear. Is it God's will that I buy this house or that I buy this house? Is it God's will that I take this job or this job? Is it God's will that I date or marry this girl? Is it God's will that I date or marry this girl? Is it God's will that I take this ministry? Or is it God's will that I take this area of service? Or is it God's will that I take this area of service? Should I be on worship team? Should I work with children? Should I live here? Should I live here? Should I go to this college? Should I go to that college? We in our society get all caught up in these types of questions about God's will. And I want to tell you that that is the wrong focus. The Bible clearly teaches us what God's will is. And we should be focusing our lives not on what the Bible doesn't speak about, but what the Bible does clearly tell us. So, what is God's will? Will you pray with me, please? Would you take a few moments and pray right now that God would help you to know, embrace, and approve of His good, pleasing, and perfect will? Will you pray right now for the other people in this room? If I didn't give you enough time to pray for yourself, then by all means continue. But if you're ready, move on, pray for the other people in this room that God would help them know, embrace, and approve of God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, would you please pray for me that I would speak truth, and by God's truth, you would be set free today. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Number one in your notes, it is God's will that you be sanctified. It is God's will that you be sanctified. This morning is what we call a topical sermon. There is no one passage that we will focus on today, but you're absolutely going to need your Bible. So please join me for this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4 says this. Verse 1, finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. For you know what commands we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. Here is a clear teaching from Scripture, Trinity Baptist Church. This is God's will for you and for me, your sanctification. What does it mean to be sanctified? Set apart, Carrie. Thank you very much. If you are a Christian, we talked about this at True Love Waits. If you are a Christian, you are sanctified. You are. It is a fact. You are sanctified in Christ. There are 7 billion people in the world. I don't mean to disparage them, but those are the common people. It's true. 7 billion people in the world. Out of those 7 billion people, God has separated out a group of people called the church and has called them to be His children. If you are God's child here today, you are sanctified by His grace. It has nothing to do with your behavior. It is a fact of your salvation. You are sanctified. When Paul says it is God's will for you to be sanctified, what he is saying is he wants you to live out your calling in your daily life. If God has separated me out from the world, then I shouldn't live like they do. Amen? That's what it means to be sanctified. God has separated you. He has set you apart to be His child. And now you and I are called to separate ourselves from the sinful attitudes and actions of the world. That's what it means to be sanctified. Romans 6:19, behind me on the screen. I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. Just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 names a specific way that we should live out our calling as Christians. And that is that we should abstain from sexual immorality. We get caught up in relationships. I'm talking about romantic relationships. In this country, we get caught up in who is God's will for me. Should I date this person? Should I date this person? Should I marry this person? And should I marry this person? And sometimes there is a clear self-centered path and Christ-centered path. Sometimes God's will is definitely one or the other. But what I want you to see today is we focus too much on that. Sometimes we are free in Christ to date and marry who we choose. But it is absolutely God's will that we be sanctified in that relationship. God may or may not care who you date, but He absolutely cares how you treat them. You may be free to marry who you wish. There may not be an issue of God's will there, but it's absolutely God's will that you treat them in a Christian manner once you marry them. It's God's will that you be sanctified. Let's focus on that. Sanctification applies to other areas as well, not just dating, not just sex. 1 Thessalonians 4 is talking about sex specifically, but when it says, but it's God's will that you be sanctified in general, it applies to other areas as well. What house do I buy? What car do I buy? What job do I take? The Bible may or may not tell you which house to buy. God may not have a will about what house you buy. You may be free in Christ to simply buy the house you choose. But He absolutely has a will on how you conduct yourself in the house. The Bible may not tell you what job to take. Sometimes these decisions have a definite yes or no. Sometimes these decisions have a definite self-centered path and a Christ-centered path. But so often they don't. God may not have a preference about what job you take. That may not be an issue of His will at all. But He absolutely has a will about how you conduct yourself at the workplace. Trinity Baptist Church, I often say this, and I hope it's not an excuse for you to tune me out the rest of the time. But if you're listening to me at all, hear this one sentence. It is God's will that you be conformed to the image of Christ. That is God's will for you. That is His priority for your life. It's not about what house you buy, what job you take. God's will for you is that you grow in Christ likeness, in your thoughts, in your words and in your actions. That is God's will for you. And that is God's will for me. Number two in your notes. Now remember, don't tune me out. Number two, it is God's will that you give thanks in all circumstances. It is God's will that you give thanks in all circumstances. You're in 1 Thessalonians 4, look at chapter 5. We'll start with verse 12. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another evil with evil, for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Verse 16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That is the will of God. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. This is how God wants you and I to live, no matter what your circumstances are. God may or may not have a specific will for which path you choose. Sometimes there's a definite self-centered path and a Christ-centered path, but sometimes there isn't. God may or may not have a specific will on which path you choose, but he absolutely cares about the attitude you embrace on your path. God may or may not care about which path you choose, but he absolutely cares about the attitude you embrace on your path. And it is God's will for each and every one of us that we praise him in all circumstances. Number three in your notes. It is God's will that you silence the critics of the truth with your submissive and holy behavior. It is God's will that you silence the critics of the truth with your submissive and holy behavior. Please join me in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2. Verse 2:13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. It's God's will that you and I live in such a way that bring him glory and silence the critics of the gospel. Do you know how much damage has been done to the gospel by church people that live like the world? It is God's will that you and I do what is right and silence the critics of Christianity. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Julie and I went to Disneyland for 3 days this past week to celebrate our 20th anniversary. And Disneyland did a great thing. We walked in and they had happy anniversary buttons for us. And we wore them throughout the park. And they trained their employees really well at Disneyland, because every single attraction we went to, the Disneyland employee said, "Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary." It's great. And we were even in line for a photo, and the person that escorts the character that we had the photo with, we're in line to take a photo with this character. It doesn't matter who it was. We're in line with the photo to take this character, and the person says, "Happy anniversary. How many years?" And I said, 20. And he goes, "Wow." He looks at the whole line. He says, "Hey, everybody, these two have been married 20 years. And for the world, that's an eternity. We were rock stars for being married 20 years. But it gave us an opportunity for the gospel, because twice at the park, the employee looked at us and said, "What's your secret?" And it's Christ. That's God's will. Paul says it this way in Titus chapter 2, 9 and 10. "Urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything." Why? "To be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith." Why? "So that they will adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect." Adorn is an awesome Greek word. It's the word used of a bride adorned for her husband. And when you and I, in the power of the Holy Spirit, not in our own strength, in the power of the Holy Spirit, when you and I live out our Christian faith, the gospel is beautified. And people say, "I want that." It's God's will that you silence the critics of the truth with your submissive and holy behavior. Sometimes we get caught up in God's will. Should I take this job? Should I take this job? And again, sometimes, as you pray about it, and as you search the motives of your heart, sometimes there is a self-centered path and a Christ-centered path. But many, many, many times, it's not an issue of God's will. We are free in Christ. Take the job you want. Not an issue of God's will. What God cares about is not which job you take, but how you treat your employer. It's God's will that you silence the critics of the truth with your submissive and holy behavior. Number 4 in your notes. It's God's will that you surrender to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to be the controlling influence of your life. Please join me in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5:17. "So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." Isn't that awesome? That's another one that mentions how giving thanks and rejoicing is God's will for your life. God wants us to embrace joy. Amen? Beautiful. What does it look like to be filled with the Spirit? What does it look like? Join me in Galatians 5. Galatians 5:19. Galatians 5:19. "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. We get caught up. Should I buy this? Should I do this? Should I live here? All of these decisions that are not specifically mentioned in Scripture, and we forget the fact that God's will is to transform your heart. God's will is to transform your character. A.W. Tozer says this awesome thing, and I hope I get it right. Good works, the good works we do, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience that we display, good works are not to earn our salvation or to change our life. The good works we do are evidence that God is at work in us. It's God's will to bless you with these beautiful qualities. That is God's will. It's God's will to rescue you from a life of sin and fill you with His love and joy and peace. That is God's will. God wants to change your life. And He wants your life to reflect these qualities. That is His will. That is His main concern. Number 5 in your notes. As our minds are renewed, we will be able to know and approve of God's will. As our minds are renewed, we'll be able to know and approve of God's will. Turn to Romans chapter 12, please. Romans 12. Romans 12, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? Why should your mind be renewed? So that you may prove what the will of God is. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. A renewed mind will approve of the will of God. When our minds are set on the flesh, we don't know the will of God and we don't even like the will of God. We don't even agree with it. But as we yield to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I want you to renew my mind through your word. And as our minds are renewed through the Word of God, we recognize God's will as good and acceptable and perfect. Would you agree that God's will is good and acceptable and perfect? Well, a renewed mind comes to that conclusion. You know God's will and you say, that's the way I ought to go. And number 6 is my last point. It is God's will that everyone who looks to Jesus be saved. Please join me in John chapter 6. The most awesome, awesome verse. John 6:35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. Why won't Jesus cast out the one who comes to him? You ever ask that question? Jesus says, you come to me, I won't turn you away. You come to me, I won't cast you out. Why? Why won't he do it? The passage tells us. Verse 38. I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that all that he gives me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. What is God's will for you? It is God's will that you have eternal life. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, help us to know your will, to embrace your will, and to surrender our lives to your will. In Jesus' name, amen.